If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
Welcome to the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show. Charlie Meliotis here in our downtown Chicago studio. And that was a tough one for the Blackhawks. Getting off to a 3-0 lead and squandering it to lose 4-3 to the Minnesota Wild in a shootout. Let's go right back over to Minnesota and bring in Steve Conroy to help us break down this game. Steve, man, this one's going to sting. I felt like the Hawks played a really solid road game. First two periods, I felt like Chicago was really in control of the game. Minnesota tilts the ice in its favor a little bit in the third period. Hawks get some overtime chances on the power play, not able to capitalize. Just your thoughts overall on this one.
Well, you kind of summarized it perfectly. The Blackhawks were in complete control, and deservedly so. I thought they played a really good road game. First period was one of the better periods they played in a long, long time. You know, they bent a little bit in the second period, but they didn't break. And then the Mikheyev goal got them going the other way, and they're up 3-0, and they have a little bit of momentum. And then they give up a goal, and it's, you know, a lost battle in front of the net. And that kind of got the Minnesota Wild into it. And I think they generated maybe a little bit of confidence off that. And then a couple more. Well, actually, yeah, it was a couple more in the third period that did them in. And again, it was kind of lost battles in front of the net. I take that back. I said a lost battle in front of the net for the first goal. It wasn't. It was just an unfortunate bounce at the offensive blue line. I think it was Burakovsky was trying to get it back to Grizzlick. That's a hand grenade. And I can tell you as a defenseman, a former defenseman, you don't want to handle that. And it was bouncing, and it was in his skates, and he was in a no-win situation. Turns into a 2-on-1. Trennan scores the goal. That gave them a little bit of life towards the end of that second period. And then in the third period, I thought it was two battles in front of the net that the Blackhawks lost that ended up in the back of their net. But there was a lot of positives in this hockey game, and I thought it was going to finally be a win. I think I might have given a bad number right at the end of the game. Minnesota now 16-0-2 in their last 18 games against the Chicago Blackhawks. It represents the longest active point streak against any opponent in the NHL. And they've now won 9 straight here at home ice on Grand Casino. So I thought it was going to go the other way. I thought it was going to be a great start to the mother's trip. But that's hockey, and that's why it's such a great sport. It ain't over till it's over, and the Blackhawks had an opportunity, 4-on-3, man advantage, and you know the power play would have been the hero of the night, and instead it's kind of been a tough area for them over the last 7-8 games.
Yeah, that's exactly where I want to go next, because the Hawks had, I circled 3 different opportunities where the power play had an opportunity to just score a goal to kind of put the game away. The one in the second period, Hawks' second power play of the game, it was 3-1 Minnesota. If the Hawks score there to make it 4-1, that just kind of puts a dagger, not dagger in the game, but it kind of deflates the sails out of Minnesota. And then Minnesota goes up 3-2 in the third period. Hawks have back-to-back power plays. The third and fourth of the game, they weren't able to score on that one. And then Minnesota ends up scoring immediately after with the extra attacker. And then the third opportunity, like in overtime, the Hawks had almost a full 2:57 to finish. They had 5 shots on goal, weren't able to capitalize. I think 3 of them came from Bedard, 2 of them on Nazar. I mean, I felt like the power play was probably moving the puck better than we've seen. Like, it felt like the entries were a little bit better in this game, and they were moving the puck, but they just weren't able to capitalize. And man, 0-for-5 performance. Like, you just score one time and on any of those, and it feels like it's a different game.
Well, exactly. And you know, so many times we've talked about it. You know, coaches talk about it. Fans know about it. You win the special teams battle, you get an 80% chance of winning the hockey game. And their penalty kill has been absolutely fantastic. It was good again tonight. Unfortunately, you know, the power play scores one goal. And you mentioned, I guess most of the shots came on that 4-on-3, but they had 11 shots on the power play. That's a huge improvement over what they've been doing, and you gave us the numbers in the pregame show. I think it was 14 shots in the previous 17 opportunities.
Yep.
So to get 11 shots, you're heading in the right direction, but now you got to finish. And unfortunately, they haven't finished. You know, I look at Connor Bedard, and he did have an assist tonight. I was hoping he'd score that first goal. I don't know how he didn't. He ended up putting it off the post, and then Teravainen put it in. But I just don't see the same zip on his shot. And maybe it's just because he's not scoring. And when he scores, it just looks electric. But, you know, since the shoulder injury, what is it now? One goal and four assists.
Yeah, nine games.
In the nine games. And that shot, that normally lethal shot, it hasn't been there. And that one he had in the 4-on-3, relatively easy stop, it looked like, by Jesper Wallstad. He saw it. But even when goalies see it, Connor Bedard can beat you. I think he's lacking just a little bit of velocity on that shot.
Yeah, I thought his line, though, was really noticeable in this game with the Nazar Bedard Teravainen line. I know that this was the first time really ever kind of playing together from start to finish, and I thought they were really noticeable. And it's unfortunate that they weren't able to capitalize beyond the one goal that they scored, because I felt like even in the power play, it feels like that chemistry could have, you know, carried over into that man advantage, but it didn't.
Yeah, you know, we kind of talked about it. I think it was at the beginning of the second period. These players think alike, and sometimes it's hard to play with a superstar like Connor Bedard, and I think players have found that in the past. But when you think like him, and I think Frank Nazar thinks like Connor Bedard. I think Teuvo Teravainen thinks like Connor Bedard. They're almost a play ahead of what's happening on the ice. That they're like chess masters out there, and that's why I think it worked, because they were always looking for each other. They made a lot of good passes to each other, just weren't able to finish. So yeah, I think that line's going to stick together. I know you read some numbers after the second period, the way they tilted the ice and the scoring chances. I think one of them was 9-3 in favor of their line when they were on the ice. Those are fantastic numbers, and you want to keep those guys together, and I'm sure they will. I thought the fourth line had some looks tonight. Marcus Foligno, Nick Foligno. Marcus, of course, plays in Minnesota, but Nick Foligno, he was out there on the power play. In the third period, I thought he was doing a great job ragging the puck in behind the net. They were all doing their jobs. The one guy I think he'd tell you I'm capable of playing better right now is Andrei Burakovsky.
Yep.
And he has been moved to the third line. I thought Oliver Moore had kind of a tough night. He fell a couple of times early in this hockey game. I normally notice Ryan Green a lot. I didn't really notice Ryan Green quite as much tonight. That something's going to happen, has to happen with those guys, especially Burakovsky, because he had been playing on the first line. You know, he's dropped to the third line now. And again, the only play that I can remember is the hand grenade that he threw over to Matt Grizzlick, and it ended up in the back of their net.
You know what the worst part about this loss is, Steve, is we got some sad moms that are going to be on the plane tonight, unfortunately, going to Pittsburgh.
Well, remember what I told you last game? Moms love you whether you win or lose.
That's
so
true.
I thought it would have been just an exclamation point on this trip for them to come in here, a place they hadn't won in almost 7 years. 2019, February 2019 was the last time they've beaten the Minnesota Wild, and to come in here with the moms in tow would have been just poetic justice. But unfortunately, that's hockey, and that's life sometimes. And you got to regroup, you got to get ready, and you got to go into a building in Pittsburgh where, boy, all of a sudden they're rejuvenated. I talked about their numbers earlier. I want to say they're 13-4-2, I think, over their last whatever it is, 19 games. They're on a bit of a heater, and it's not just the young guys; it's the old guys, Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, doing a real good job. And the good news is, Brian Rust is going to be lost to them for the next three games, so he will not be in the lineup against the Blackhawks in a couple nights.
All right, you will be in the lineup, though, on Thursday in Pittsburgh, so we're looking forward to maybe bringing home, at least salvaging the mom's trip with two out of a possible 4 points. How about that?
Well, they did get a point tonight.
Yeah, you're right. Three out of a possible four. How about that?
We could get a three out of a possible 4 points, and we're going to need you, too, because the pregame, between periods, and postgame, very important, so Bring your good stuff.
All right. I love it. Great call, Steve, as always. We'll talk on Thursday.
All right. You too, Charlie. Thanks.
All right. Well, we're waiting on some Blackhawks sound from the postgame locker room. We're only going to 10:30 tonight because it was a long game with the shootout, so I'm not sure how much we'll be able to get in, but we'll see what we can do when the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show continues on after this on 720 WGN.
Ryan Donato got a score to keep the Hawks in it. He had a goal earlier. Takes the puck at center ice. Over the Wild line, right wing. Cuts back to the slot and shoots. Kicked out by Wallstad. And the Minnesota Wild win this one in the shootout. They had to come from way behind erase a three-goal deficit, which they did. And they end up winning in the shootout. The final score, the Wild 4 and the Hawks 3.
Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. The Hawks get off to a 3-0 lead, but squander it and lose 4-3 in a shootout. They do pick up a point. The Minnesota Wild now improved to 17-0-1 in its last 18 games against the Blackhawks. Hawks haven't beaten Minnesota in regulation since December 15th, 2019. Now there is at least one more meeting against Minnesota in March, so hopefully the Hawks are able to snap that. But unfortunately, the Hawks pick up another loss to the Minnesota Wild. Let's get to tonight's ice time, sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. It was Connor Bedard leading the way for the Blackhawks with 23 minutes and 50 seconds of ice time. Frank Nazar was at 21:30. Alex Vlasic was at 22:04. Tyler Bertuzzi, 21:50. A lot of players north of 20 minutes in this hockey game. Leading the way for the Minnesota Wild was weirdly not Quinn Hughes. It was Brock Faber at 30 minutes and 1 second. It looks like we got some sound rolling in from the Blackhawks locker room, so I'm going to take a quick break, and hopefully we'll be able to hear from some of the guys inside that locker room when the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show continues after this on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. One of the positives in this game was the performance of that top line of Frank Nazar, Connor Bedard, Teuvo Teravainen. They were on the ice together at even strength, almost 12 minutes of ice time, and the numbers when they were on the ice were pretty staggering. Shot attempts 16-6 in favor of Chicago. They also led in shots on goal 11-3 Blackhawks. Scoring chances 9-3 Chicago. High danger chances 6-1 Chicago. So really liked what I saw from that trio. Let's hear from Frank Nazar on the loss, but also I'm sure his performance with the line of Bedard and Teravainen.
Coming on the short side of it.
I mean, you could guess, right? It stinks. But no, I really liked our game tonight. You know, just got to stick with it throughout the whole game. And, you know, if we have a lead like that, continue to add on to it. So just work on that.
Did you guys get away from the game at any point? Like, was there a stretch where you can kind of point to and say, oh, that's where we did it?
Honestly, I don't think we got away from the game. I think just some, like, sloppiness with the puck or some decisions. But, like, really, honestly, I thought we played a great game. And, yeah.
How did you feel like your line worked tonight? It seemed like you guys were generating lots of chances.
I thought we played really well, yeah. I think you know, it's easy to play with two guys as smart and skilled as them. And maybe had a ton of shots. I was just looking, right? Like, I think Redzi had like 7 shots. So a lot of great chances. Just got to, you know, execute on that. So.
With the power play, what do you think could be fixed or changed to spark something? It's certainly been a tough stretch.
I don't know. It's a good question. If I knew that one, I think it'd be 5 for 5.
Does it become mental after a while? You start like thinking about the fact that you haven't scored on the power play in a while, and then it makes it even harder.
Honestly, no. I think we're going out there every time, like trying to score. It's not like we don't believe in ourselves or have any doubt about ourselves. It's, you know, we're going out there full belief that, you know, we're gonna be able to score. And sometimes it just doesn't go your way. So it's, you know, that's life. And you got to work your way out of it and dig yourself out of the mud and just keep going. So
that shootout move seemed like you did everything you wanted to do on it. Except
yeah. Well, I got it through.
Well, yeah, on the right angle, I guess.
I know. Yeah, just right through the crease. So.
I feel like the way it's been for you, you get all these great chances, you're making them happen, and you just kind of come up short.
Yeah. Like I said, that could be life sometimes, but got to get up and punch in the balls back.
Yeah, Frank Nazar on that shootout attempt, He was the opener for the Blackhawks, and he literally beat Jesper Wallstedt, but unfortunately he slid the puck just past the crease and past the net, unfortunately, for him, or else that would have gotten Chicago. It would have been the only goal that the Blackhawks scored in the shootout. Unfortunately, they weren't able to get the next two. How about Ryan Donato? He found the back of the net. He came into this game with just two goals in his previous 28 games, and his goal tonight snapped an 11-game goal drought. So I know that felt good for him, but I know he's probably stewing on the missed shootout attempt there on the final one for the Blackhawks to unfortunately end the game. Let's hear what Donato had to say after this one.
It seemed like that was tracking to be one of your best games of the season as a team. What changed in the back half there?
I don't know. I think obviously that's a good club over there. They find ways to win games. I think we battled hard. We competed. We had our chances to finish it. It's unfortunate. We did a lot of good things tonight. I think we played well as a team. And, it's definitely hard to not get emotional about it and say, we lost. But at the end of the day, I think we did a lot of good things. And, we had some things to build on, but we got to, find a way to close that out.
Yeah, not to make excuses, but it didn't seem like the kind of game where you blew a 3-0 lead and it fell apart. Like, there wasn't like a collapse there. It just seemed like it just chipped away.
Yeah, no, I think we made some mistakes on our own, but like we played a full game and there was a couple shifts, where we do something and, it doesn't take much for those kind of guys to, create something out of it. And, it's unfortunate, right? You have the mothers here, you want to get the win and finish it out. And, obviously it's a little bit, bitter, but you can be thankful and feel blessed you have your parents here and, be ready for next game.
Is that something that's on your mind during the game, or like are you thinking about that, or do you remember after the game like, oh yeah, they're here?
Yeah, no, I think I do. I mean, there's so much that we as a group have to be thankful for, to have our moms here, and they've sacrificed so much for us. And obviously you're not thinking I got to get this win because of the moms, but like, yeah, it is at the same time. You want the moms to be having fun and feel like the mojo is high, and it's unfortunate, like I said, but we want to get it closed for the moms too. So
what was working so well the first kind of half of the game there?
I think we were just simple. We played exactly to the coach's game plan, and we were predictable, and I think we were getting some bounces and finishing our chances. And it's fun when you play hockey like that, and I think we we're on our way to having our best game of the year. And like I said, it's unfortunate. I'm sure there's going to be some things that we can work on and look at the film and figure out. But right now, it's obviously hard not to, like I said, to get emotional about it and be upset. But there's definitely some good things that we did. So,
a ton of shootouts lately. What's your general approach when you're sent out there?
Depends on what order we go in. Mm-hmm. I always try and look and see, what the goalie's doing. And if not, I kind of just, if I'm going first or something like that, I always just try and trust my gut. Historically, I've been, pretty fortunate in the shootouts, and there's a lot of good goalies in this league, and sometimes they go in, sometimes they don't. Sometimes you make a great move and it doesn't go in, sometimes you get lucky. So I just try and stay confident when I go down there, and sometimes you have a move in your head that you say you're going to do and then you don't do it and you score, and then sometimes you have a move in your head that you go and do and then you don't score. It's just kind of the luck of the draw, but I think it's a skill that I like to work on, and obviously it matters in the end of the year. So
all right, that was Blackhawks forward Ryan Donato. Hawks, by the way, came into this game on a 4-game road winning streak. If they would have won tonight to make it 5, it would have been their longest road winning streak since February of 2017, when the Hawks won 5 in a row. So unfortunately, the Hawks' road winning streak comes to an end. We got one more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap up the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show after this on 720 WGN.
Here's a shot on net. They score! It's Ben Kindle who finally gets the monkey off the back. And in his hometown, he's back on the score sheet. They're going nuts here in Vancouver. It's 2-0 Pens. Now Kindle a drive. He scores! Another cookie for the rookie. Ben Kindle, his second goal of the period, and he puts the Penguins up by 3.
Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. That familiar voice you heard was our former Blackhawks studio host, Joe Brand. What a game he called, by the way. Ben Kindle, you just heard, scored 2 goals. That was in the last game against the Sunday for the Pittsburgh Penguins. He was in Vancouver in his hometown and had like 150 family and friends in attendance, which is crazy. And he was able to pot two goals in that victory for the Penguins, which leads us into our next game preview sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are going to be back in action against those Pittsburgh Penguins in Pittsburgh on Thursday night, 6 o'clock puck drop, pregame at 5:30. And the Penguins are red hot. They are 5-0-2 in their last seven games, but they're also on a four-game winning streak. They're outscoring their opponents 19-8 over that stretch for a plus 11 goal differential. Time now for a Blackhawks prospect update. Let's check in on our next generation of players sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. How about an update on Jack Pridham, third rounder by the Blackhawks in 2024? He's in his second season with the OHL's Kitchener Rangers. In his last 15 games, he has 17 goals and 11 assists for 28 points. So he's averaging more than a goal per game and almost 2 points per game over that stretch. He's up to 31 goals on the season, which ranks second among all OHL skaters. Number one on that list is Merrick Van Acker with 35. He was a Blackhawks first round pick last year as well. So the cupboard is full and the future is bright for the Blackhawks. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Citgo. Score savings on every fill-up with Club Citgo. Download the app now to start saving. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, and Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. That'll do it for our broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our loaded production crew of Jack Heinrich, Tony DeNardis, and Eli Burke. They were led by our engineer, the captain, Krista Flores. For John Weideman and Steve Conroy, who brought you the call from Minnesota, I'm Charlie Romeliotis signing off after a 4-3 shootout loss to the Wild. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Thursday night against Pittsburgh.